Cameron.
Hey, man. What's up?
Not much. Hey, it feels like we've already done this once.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, I just want to mention this as the best producer in all of Magic Podcast. It's kind of alarming that you didn't hit the record button the last time we recorded.
To be fair, we are in a car. That's our studio right now.
We are in a car holding hand microphones. It looks like we're singing a duet in the parking lot. I have this really awful microphone cover. It looks like I work at Shoe Carnival. But we are in a parking lot in Columbia, Missouri. We're outside of an event. We're at a legacy event, a 70-man, what they call a Winamox. And right now, we're doing okay. You're
2-0.
You're undefeated.
Undefeated. Although one of those was a bye.
The lone dude in the whole place that got a bye.
Yeah, classic Cameron McCoy going 1-0 with a bye. And then, but won the next round against a Maverick player, which, you know, like I said, I feel bad beating a Maverick player while sitting right next to you, but I have to do what I have to do, right?
You have to do what you have to do. And honestly, I think the Maverick player was displeased, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, he did mulligan to 4 for his, like, game 2, which, you know, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take my wins however I can take them.
Yeah. So just to go over this again, first round bye. Second round, opponent mulls to 4. Good on you, Cameron. So I am playing Maverick, and I mentioned this before. Anytime we're playing a legacy event, Maverick is kind of my comfort food, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the best deck in the format. It's a little bit better than it was maybe a year or two ago, and we're actually seeing a lot of Maverick here.
Quite a bit.
Just because it's so strong against Delver, and Delver's exceptionally popular. But I am 1-1. I actually managed to beat Nykvit, which is a pretty low percentage deal. I was very pleased with that. Game 1, he Toxic Deluged me twice and Pernicious Deeded me once.
Oof, so, I mean,
he's got all these cards main deck, and it's a pretty kind of strange mixture of me running real well, and also New Thalia really kind of shut the door on that matchup.
Good.
Then I played against Black-Red Reanimator, and I got foe turned 1 both games. Like, when I say turned 1, like, he reanimated a card that I could not beat. So, in Game 1, he reanimated a Gristlebrand on turn 1, and he was on the play. In game 2, he land Lotus Petal, Dark Ritual, Collective Brutality, my Deathrite Shaman, and then went into Tide Spout Tyrant, and I had no outs. So, with my mana situation, I should say. So, it was kind of like a quick ordeal, but that's going to happen when you play Maverick. I really have to hit certain particular matchups.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, we're going to kind of pick this back up. We're going to be in and out, kind of reporting, and that's going to be our show this week. But Cameron, I hope your opponents continue to mold a 4.
I was going to say, like, that Mox is just, you know, 2 games away now. Like, it's great.
Yeah, right. You're in it. All right. We'll report back in and talk a little bit more about the tournament when we come back. Currently 4 rounds into this legacy event.
Both 3-1.
Sure. Some of us got here the hard way.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I mean, I've had to play nothing but, like, my most ideal matchups.
Including no one. It's about as ideal as it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you are 3-1. So when we last checked in, you were 2-0. So what have you played since?
Since then, a really tough matchup against Show and Tell. And that was a super close match where one more turn, would have had it, whatever, you know. Mm. He had the Ember Cool, so that's Show and Tell. I felt like I played competitively. It was pretty good. The other one was just finished playing against Nykvit. A fairly new player. I mean, he was a good player, but, I mean, you could tell there was some, like, inexperienced plays that he was making. He wasn't counting life. Something that really bugs me is, like, when my opponent, or they're relying on me. If this is, like, a casual game, sure, I don't care. But competitive REL,
don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy, right? So, but got there. Anyway, so currently sitting 3-1.
Sweet. So, let's see. I since we last talked, I played against Black-Red Reanimator again.
Jeez, man.
And so, which, it's weird because that matchup, I feel, is very 50-50. It's very much dependent upon if I live through the first turn.
Yeah, right.
So if I end up landing a Thalia or a Deathrite Shaman or any of that stuff, like, generally they have trouble winning, but they can just straight up turn 1 you. And that's kind of been a theme for me today is my one loss, the guy got out ahead turn 1 both games. One time he had a Gristlebrand. The other time he casted Tidespout Tyrant. And so I just had nothing I could do, you know. And so this next time, I played against him. And my favorite play that I've made so far today, I shared this with you. So opponent reanimates an Elishnorn. Okay?
Yep.
And I have a Knight of the Reliquary in hand and only one fetch land on the field. So I fetch for a Dryad Arbor. So the Dryad Arbor dies to the Elishnorn. Then I cast my Knight of the Reliquary, which can live because there's two lands in the yard then. And then I fetch up my Caracas. And then I, after that, I play New Thalia, which has been, I mean, incredibly powerful today. Just yeah. really won me games that you wouldn't expect. And I just played against Storm. I got turn one, game one against Storm. And then the next two games, game three, I think, was on my opponent because he was trying to rush. He knew I had a Thalia in hand, and he boarded out all of his hand disruption, I believe.
Okay.
At least I never saw any. And he was trying to rush to beat the Thalia that he knew was in my hand from a probe, and he fizzled.
Nice.
And okay. So then I had Thalia plus Rest in Peace, and there was just really nothing he could do about it. You know, I ended up killing him with a... My draw was actually quite bad. I had a Thalia and a Dryad Arbor that I hit him with like five times because I was just flooded. But again, once you have a Thalia and some kind of lock piece against them, it's very tough.
Mm-hmm.
Questionable mulligan for me, okay?
Okay.
Playing against Storm, game two.
Yeah.
Five lands, Rest in Peace, Green Sun Zenith.
Oof. I mean, can you get to that point where you can Green Sun into New Thalia, or into Thalia, or
well,
Old Thalia?
You can't Green Sun into Thalia because she's not green. So usually you have, okay, you have to Green Sun into Teague, which Gannic Teague, unless they have an abrupt decay, is pretty close to impossible for them to beat.
Yeah.
That's like, if you have Thalia plus Teague, like, good night. Like, it's very, very difficult for them. They have to string together abrupt decays, and that can be very difficult. So far though, it's been a really healthy tournament. I mean, I've talked to people that have driven from Indiana and Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's certainly a hunger for Legacy out there.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of, I've heard the same story time and time again from guys of my local shop had one and then it kind of dissipated or fell apart. And so that's where we're at, right?
Yeah. Well, without the support of like new players or from the shop or, you know, that influx of players, it's just never going to happen. And yeah, I mean, that's Modern, right? I mean, that's the reason why Modern has taken off the way that it has.
Yeah, and of course, next week we'll talk more about kind of the direction Modern's headed, because that's certainly been a community discussion. And while I'm enjoying this Legacy tournament, I do feel like it is like a lot of kind of, all right, let's get together and just enjoy this tournament. It feels more of like a kind of a get-together than a really spiky REL PTQ tournament, which is strange, you know, but that's kind of the format and the people that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird to drive to a college town in the middle of Missouri to have this tournament, you know?
70-something people, so, yeah.
All right, so we'll be back with some more tournament reporting later on. Hopefully we'll play each other this round.
Hopefully we'll play and have some real fodder.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, Cameron. We've been spending the past hour together at this tournament. How do you feel?
I feel awful. I lost to the biggest tool, I think.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, like, as far as opponents go, this guy, I mean, I just wanted to punch him in the face, you know?
I have that effect on people. I do. So, hey.
Yeah.
Just tweeted out, we were both 3-1, and boom, ended up in the matchup. So you were playing Esper Stoneblade, I was playing Maverick. Just, I mean, I'm sure that was like 5 minutes ago, us saying that.
Yeah, right.
It was a few hours ago. And, you know, on paper, I think it's not a super great matchup for me, but a few very specific things happened in that match that allowed me to take it. Number one, New Thalia.
She shut me down, man.
Yeah, that was... I basically won game one entirely on the back of her. And then, you know, game two, I felt like I was able to just slowly outvalue you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even with, like... I think game two, I had the Supreme Verdict even, did that, and you're just able to come back from that, right? Because, I mean, my cards in hand were like, you know, another Thoughtseize or things of just that weren't valuable at that moment, right?
Which brings me to an important point that I've noticed on Magic Online. Guys, when you're playing against Maverick, don't leave in Thoughtseizes.
Yeah, right.
I see this over and over again. People will thought seize me, and I'm thinking, all my cards are they're green dudes.
Yeah.
You know, a wrath effect is incredibly more effective.
Yeah.
Right? But I also, let's just talk a little bit about sideboards. You know, I brought in some kind of standard fare choke, some abrupt decays, because I saw that you were playing with the Strix.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed you brought in Containment Priest against me, which I thought was pretty interesting.
You know, I feel like there's certain cards that are, if you have a Gaddock Teague online, like my Jace becomes just garbage, right?
Supreme Verdict becomes bad.
Yeah, Supreme Verdict. And so I was thinking like, well, I mean, you playing something that, you know, generates value with Green Suns, of like, maybe I could just get you off of your, you know, a Quasali Pride Mage, or, you know, even your, what is a land slash...
Dryad Arbor.
Just something like that. You know, I just thought it'd be kind of a cute little thing. I don't know if it's good against you, but I think it could just slow you down one additional turn, which is what I was trying to do.
Yeah, just being an Ambush Viper against Gaddock Teague has a ton of value.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm never not going to attack with a Gaddock Teague unless I'm really frightened that you have the Snapcaster Containment Priest. But it was kind of weird how they played out. Both games were longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, in game 2, I would call you a little flooded.
Yeah, I was starting to just, yeah, get mana, way too much mana.
Because I had Scribranger, Knight of the Reliquary online, and I could have instepped Wastelanded Two of Your Lands, and then Wastelanded Two of Your Lands on my turn, and I still wouldn't have got nearly enough. Like, you just had so many lands. And usually whenever the game gets to that stage, I'm in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I in the middle of the match, no kidding, because you just passed the turn, and I thought, what does he have?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Cameron, if you Terminus me, our friendship's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I did not know what was going on, but apparently it was just nothing, huh?
Yeah, it was just, I think I had that Containment Priest that I was just, honestly became a chump blocker, right? I mean, because you had the Knight that was suited up with the Sword of Fire and Ice? Mind you, it was my Sword of Fire and Ice.
Right.
So I feel like I kind of won.
Really, it's 1/60th of your victory.
Okay.
And can we just say this? There's a lot more pressure on me than when we play these.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because,
for sure.
Because I think I would never hear the end of it if I lost to you, Cameron.
No, you won it.
I mean, not just from you, but from our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, would I build, like, an entire celebration audio file, like, thing, you know, celebrating that victory? Yes, I would.
I think you would digitally sculpt and 3D print a recreation of that match. That's how intensely I think you would feel about it. So it's important that, you know, we put you in your place, and I'm happy that occurred. Also, I mean, it is funny whenever we play, and it is very much a function of the decks and how long we've been playing the decks. Like, I literally have to think about nothing when I'm playing Maverick, except for very specific situations, and then the rest of the game kind of just takes care of itself, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you have a lot more, you know, you're brainstorming, all those kinds of things. Sure. So, anyway, so right now you're 3-2, I'm 4-1.
Yep. Yeah,
you have excellent tiebreakers because you have a bye, so we're sticking in. Also, this event has crazy payout. They're giving away 5 dual lands or 4 dual lands.
Aside from the win a Mox, right? There's like some Jaces that you can win. There are multiple dual lands, like full packs of Eternal. A full box of Eternal Masters, and then just like door prizes. They're giving away random Underground Sea
Volcanic Taigas. Islands.
Yeah, 2 Volcanic Islands. I mean, like. So staying in the tournament to have a chance to even just win a door prize, I mean, that's value right there, where you could just very easily make your money back, which is only $30. Right?
I know.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, generally speaking, if I'm X2, I would be driving back home and, you know, eating my beef jerky, listening to Alicia Keys.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like one does on the road trips. But, you know, hey, now I'm in it. I mean, I guess I'm officially in it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Still have 2 more rounds. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, one of the big things that's a goal for me is to just end over 500. And now that I've kind of locked that in, it really takes a little bit of pressure off me. I know that might sound dumb, but having a losing record just weighs on me.
No, and that's like, yeah, I think that's a good goal.
It's solid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's solid.
I just hope that I don't go, you know, 0-3 for these next, like, 3 rounds.
There's just 2 rounds
or 2
left.
Rounds. Okay, so yeah.
I hope you don't go 0-3 in the next 2 rounds too.
I probably will since I did have that bye. So that's the way it works, right?
All right, guys. Well, we'll check back in with you again. Hey, Cameron, how's it going?
You know, I have not felt this good in a long time. I've needed Legacy like no one's business.
Okay. Well, me too. This is the last time I played Legacy since an SCG Open more than a year ago. In paper.
Sure.
So how do you feel like your tournament went?
Overall, I felt really... I felt like I was pretty successful. Let's see. So I went, 2-4, you know, for my standings, which, you know, obviously isn't great. We were just talking, I probably mere seconds ago, about like breaking 500. Obviously, I didn't do that. So it's a little bit of a bummer. But for like my first, you know, real Legacy tournament where I was playing against like legitimately great players.
So
like,
this is your first competitive REL.
Competitive REL for Legacy.
Okay.
I felt like it went really, really well. And honestly, like just the community and how many people just love this format and want to support it in every single way and encourage you to play.
Yeah.
That makes it so much better than like, you know, the tournament practice room and
on MTGO.
On MTGO, yeah.
Yeah, really what it boils down to, dude, is Legacy is not healthy, but it is nice to go to an event like this where things, you know, where players can get together and kind of enjoy this format. What was really telling, even though it was a very competitive environment, is how many fair decks we saw.
Shocking amount, honestly.
Yeah, lots of Nykvit, lots of Maverick, Delver as well. Not a ton of Storm in the room, not a lot of Miracles. I didn't see one Eldrazi player.
I saw one, like, playing next to me, but I think he did worse than me for the standings, so...
Right, so yeah. It's kind of interesting how this doesn't mirror what we see online, but, you know, a lot of times whenever you're playing Legacy, you're kind of glued into whatever deck that you might already own. So for me, I landed on 5-2.
Awesome.
And it was 73 people, and I ended up at 11th. My tiebreakers were... really terrible. I don't want to put all the blame on you for that, but I think there's some there, Cameron.
You put all. Heap it all on me.
Yeah.
That's good.
You got big, broad shoulders, and you can take all the blame. But you know what? It's kind of a story of splits. Since we last recorded, after I played against you, I played against Death in Texas twice.
One time,
I mean, in my experience with Maverick, that's a real coin flip. I feel like the matchup's gotten a little bit worse for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm playing 3 of the new Thalia as well as 4 of old Thalia.
Mm-hmm.
Against Death and Taxes, that is an awful card. They're main decking some number of Caracases.
Yeah.
And they can just interfere with your ability to use them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they can bounce your 3-drop with a land, that's not good. And then the other part is they're playing the Recruiter.
Yeah, they've got some new tools that are really good.
Right. Yeah. And while I feel like it makes their deck stronger, and I feel like Death and Taxes has seen a nice uptick, the things that I've noticed with Maverick being better against, for example, Esper Stoneblade, or Delver, or some more of the combo decks, I think the current build that I have is worse against Death and Taxes. That being said, you know, look, I got to win purely on the back of Zealous Persecution. Basically wiped his board and killed him, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens. But I do feel like they're a little more favored in the matchup currently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a great time. I'm mentally exhausted.
Yeah.
I need to go get a sandwich. I hope we've recorded enough content for this episode. I know a lot of people are going to want us to talk about what's been going on with Modern and Standard and all those things, Cameron. But...
you know, not having a time code, this could very well be a 15-minute show, where if that is the case, listener, I apologize. Because, like, my sense of time right now is...
Yeah, we genuinely have no idea how long we've been recording. Yeah. And again, also part of that is tempered by the fact that we are sitting in a parking lot holding microphones, talking to each other. It looks ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Like, I guarantee people have just walked by. We're parked next to a hotel room, and... you know they're thinking, like, what karaoke songs are they singing to in a car?
Maybe we're competitive rock band players, and we just want to, in between matches, like, really practice our Bon Jovi.
I mean, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. So, hey, hope you guys enjoyed listening to our Legacy Tournament Quasi-Report, and we will be back with a normal episode next week.